All right, I think we're getting close.
Wow, this is a pretty remote section of Western Maine, Jeff. Not much up here at all.
No, that's true. Not much population.
We've only passed a few houses here on Route 35, and they're pretty spread out.
And yet, we're getting close to our destination. A spot that will arguably put us within reach of the world.
I don't understand.
Oh, wait, pull over, right over by this fence. Here, it's the intersection of Routes 35 and 5.
Okay.
Yeah. You see that sign over there by the side of the road?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Look at that. Wait, we're not 25 miles from Sweden, are we?
I hope you brought your passport, Ray, because we've come to Lynchville, Maine to visit not just Sweden, but Paris, Denmark, Peru, China, and more. I'm Jeff Belanger, and welcome to episode 337 of the New England Legends Podcast.
And I'm Ray Osher. Thanks for joining us on our mission to chronicle every weird legend in New England, from roadside oddities to haunts, aliens, monsters, and the just plain weird. We love it all, and we get most of our story leads from you. We appreciate being a part of this strange community with you, so reach out to us anytime through our website if you've got a story you think we should check out.
We're going to explore Maine's oddest roadside sign right after this quick word from our sponsor.
Okay, my little darklings, I know, just by looking at me, you think, that guy does not work out. Well, you'd be right. And aside from just looking at me and knowing I don't work out, I was quickly reminded of the fact that I don't work out because I've got subscriptions to not one, not two, but three different apps to help me maintain my weight and get in shape and feel better. Three apps that I worked diligently when I first signed up for them for about a week and then forgot all about them. But thankfully, Rocket Money didn't forget about them. I'd forgotten all about three, not one, not two, but three different subscriptions to three different organizations. And here I am, still dumb, still fat, and losing money every month without even paying attention to it. I think some of you out there might understand the predicament I'm in, and that's why you need to get Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending, and it helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over all of my subscriptions and a clear view of exactly where my money is going. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved now a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/P60. That's rocketmoney.com/P60. rocketmoney.com/P60. Today's episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. What's the first thing that you'd do if, say, you had an extra hour in your day? Would you go for a run? Maybe take a nap, read a book, or just show up for a friend? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. And the question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. If you're like me, you think, I can get through a lot. And we can. We're a resilient species. However, there are times that we need to reach out that hand and get a little help from somewhere else. That's what I did with BetterHelp. When I reached that limit and I realized things were getting a little bit out of control, instead of taking it out on my family or taking it out on myself, I just decided to reach out and get the help that I deserve. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy, my darklings. Get BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/P60. Do that today. You're going to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/P60. It's time to take control of your life. Dave's here rooting you on, and if I can do this, you can do this. Let's do this together. BetterHelp.com/P60. There's a link for it on today's program guide.
Okay, Jeff, we're standing in Lynchville, Maine at the intersection where Route 35 splits to the north and becomes Route 5 to the west.
Right. So Lynchville is technically an unorganized territory in Maine. You won't find a town hall here or anything like that. And sometimes the sign is listed as residing in Bethel, Maine. But no matter which town claims the land, it's located right here at the intersections of Routes 35 and 5.
So I'm staring at this road sign in front of us. Maybe 15 feet tall or
sure,
so.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of arrows pointing in either direction. But come on, the sign can't be right.
It actually is correct. So go ahead and give it a read.
Okay. Starting at the top, it says Norway, 14 miles to the right, which is south. Then Paris, 15 miles to our south. Next is Denmark, 23 miles to the south. Naples, 23 miles south. Then there's Sweden, 25 miles south. Then Poland, 27 miles south. Below Poland is Mexico, 37 miles to our left, which is north. Then Peru, 46 miles to the north. And last is China, which is 94 miles to the north.
It's pretty crazy, right?
Now, I've seen signs like this before with major international cities listed on them, but those signs give the real mileage, like London is 3,185 miles away, things like that.
Yeah, I know. I've seen those too.
Yeah, Paris, France is not 15 miles away, though.
No, you're correct. Paris, France is not even close to 15 miles away, but Paris, Maine is 15 miles away.
So Maine has towns named after all these places?
It does. So the sign went up in the 1930s and became a popular roadside oddity almost right away. It's been the subject of postcards, and of course, it's been stolen a few times. After it was stolen in August of 1957, the Maine Highway Department replaced it, making all right in the world again.
So Maine has towns named after all these international places.
They do. Let's take them one by one. The town of Norway, Maine was originally known as Russfield, named for Salem, Massachusetts sea captain Henry Rust. Back in 1795, when this land was still Massachusetts, locals tried to incorporate Rustfield, but according to the Norway Historical Society, the legislature chartered the town in 1797 as Norway due to some kind of clerical error, and that's how it's remained. Maine became a state as we know it today in 1820, so Norway, Massachusetts became Norway, Maine.
Now, next down on the list is Paris. The town was first settled in 1779 by Lemuel Jackson, John Willis, and their respective families. It was originally called Number 4 Plantation.
That doesn't have much of a ring to it, does it?
No, it doesn't. The town incorporated as Paris in 1793, and like Norway, became part of Maine after Maine became its own state.
Which brings us to Denmark. Now, this town was incorporated in 1807. They decided to name it Denmark in solidarity with the country of Denmark. See, the British Royal Navy had attacked Copenhagen in 1801 and in 1807, and the taste of the American Revolutionary War was still pretty fresh in everyone's mouths around here. So calling the town Denmark was also a bit of a protest against the British.
And that brings us to Naples. The town was first settled in 1774 and then officially incorporated in 1834. It's located just north of Sebago Lake. It was named after Naples, Italy. Maybe because the coast of Sebago Lake reminded someone of the coast of Naples.
Could be. Now, Sweden, Maine is next. Originally called New Suncook Plantation, the land was granted by Massachusetts in 1774. In 1800, the town was incorporated as Lovell after Captain Lovell, a local hero from Drummer's War. In 1813, the southeastern portion of the town was incorporated as Sweden, named after the country. By now, naming these towns after cities and countries in Europe was getting to be a trend.
Poland, Maine was first settled in 1768 as Bakerstown Plantation. Moses Emery was one of the town's earliest settlers and a representative to the general court. He procured the incorporation of the town in 1795 and was given the honor of naming it. He could have named it for himself, but instead he chose Poland because he knew an old song of the same name. We all know how an earworm doesn't leave us alone sometimes, so Poland, Maine it is. This is also the town where the famous Poland Springs water comes from.
And that brings us to Mexico, Maine. Back in 1789, Colonel Jonathan Holman was granted this land called Holmanstown Plantation. And in 1803, part of this plantation became the town of Dixfield. Then in 1818, the rest of the town was incorporated as Mexico as a sign of solidarity with Mexicans fighting for independence from Spain. That war was waged from 1810 to 1821, so this town was named during the middle of the war.
Speaking of independence from Spain, that brings us to Peru. This town was first settled in 1793, and in 1812 it organized as Plantation No. 1. But it was officially incorporated in 1821 as the 240th town in Maine. They named it Peru as a sign of solidarity with people from Peru who declared their independence from Spain in 1821.
And last but not least is China Maine. In 1774, the Jones Plantation was established. In 1796, the town was incorporated as Harlem, but in 1818, the small towns of Harlem, Fairfax, and Winslow were combined. Massachusetts legislator Japheth Washburn named the town China after one of his favorite hymns written by Timothy Swan of Northfield, Massachusetts.
So we have two towns named after songs, three named in solidarity with countries fighting to throw out the king. One was a clerical error, and the rest were trying to be trendy.
That kind of sums it up. And most of these towns were incorporated as Massachusetts towns before Maine became its own state. So we'll have to blame the trend and weirdness on Massachusetts.
Still, I love this international flair way out here in the middle of nowhere, Maine. America is such a melting pot. So many of our cities are named after cities in Europe. Why not name towns too? It's a great reminder that all of our ancestors came from somewhere else. It's inspiring.
And speaking of inspiring, back on January 3rd, 1942, the Bangor Daily News published a poem, an ode to this sign. We'll leave you with it.
Should you wish to take a journey round the world and still remain far away from bombs and cannons, find that little town in Maine, where it's 14 miles to Norway and to Paris 1 mile more, or you may add another dozen miles and be at Poland's door. 37 down to Mexico, or scarce an hour's drive. But if Sweden is your preference, it's only 25. Then it's 23 to Denmark, and the same to Naples too. And a little spin of 46 will land you in Peru. Or perhaps you like the Orient. Well, that's just a little chore, for the signpost where you'll find all this says China, 94. D.R. Brown, Woodland, Maine.
And that brings us to After the Legend, where we take a deeper dive into this week's story and sometimes veer off course.
After the Legend is brought to you by our Patreon patrons. We love what we do, bringing you two stories each and every week, but it takes a lot of time and money to do it. And our patrons help us with the hosting costs, marketing and production costs, and everything else it takes to be with you two times per week. We'd love more help. It's just $3 per month, though some choose to give a little more. And for that, you get early ad-free access to new episodes, plus bonus episodes and content that no one else gets to hear. Please head over to patreon.com/New England Legends to sign up. And to see some pictures of this unique Maine sign, click on the link in our episode description or head to our website and click on episode 337.
Now that's a roadside oddity.
That is a roadside oddity. What a great thing. Someone noticed it. Someone put it up. I searched and searched. I could not find who originally put it up, but it first starts to show up in newspapers in 1940.
Okay.
And then it was stolen a number of times, as you can imagine. And then it's just become a thing. And now people will stop and pull over and park by the side of the road. There's enough room to pull a car or two over, yeah. You know, you take your picture and well, what more can you do there? You know what I mean?
Right.
In the past, there's been a little like, notebook in a container where you could log in for wherever you are, but
there's no sightseeing to be done there, really.
Nope, it's an intersection.
It's a photo op.
Pretty flat, yeah. But it's one of those things you probably drive by, and I do. Okay, now, but because we do what we do, right? If I drive by something weird, I know I should stop right away because in the past I used to drive like 10 minutes down the road and go, I really wish I would have stopped and taken a picture.
Oh, I've been
or
something. There, yeah.
So now I just know myself well enough. Like, as soon as I see it, be like, find the next safe place to pull over and turn around, next street or whatever, because this is going to gnaw at you the whole way home.
And there's a story.
That you didn't stop to take a picture or a selfie or something stupid.
And then look into it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I know the first time that happened to me where I just knew better to stop, this was years ago, I was driving by in Webster, Massachusetts, by Webster Lake. There is a strip mall. And the name of the lake is written across the entire top of the long strip mall. And that name is Lake Shagagaga Man Shagagaga Chibunamungamog.
How do you remember that?
Because when I was three, my uncle had a place on the lake and I learned it when I was three. And that's the reason it stayed in there is because I was so young and I spent all afternoon annoying every adult at the lake until they would teach it to me over and over. So it just stuck in. So anyway, I stopped and I'm like, you can't not take a picture of this.
Sure.
You don't see this anywhere, right. You know? And so that's one of the things I've learned.
Have you ever looked into that? Is that the longest named lake?
In the United States, it is the third longest location in the world. But it is the
third longest name.
Most letters.
Most letters, right.
Most letters, yeah. The longest in the United States, though.
Do you know what the other ones are?
I don't know.
Can you recite them, Jeff?
Probably in another language that I didn't learn when I was three.
There you go, yeah.
So give me a break for learning some Algonquin when I was that young, right? Yeah, and the funny thing is what it translates to is the bumper stickers will say, you fish on your side, I fish on my side, and no one fishes in the middle. Not quite true. What it translates to is there was the Manchog, the Nipmuc people and the Manchog, and the lake was the boundary. Mm. And so eventually some Englishmen built a mill more on the Manchog side. And so the name translates to the fishing place at the boundary where like the mill is on the Manchog sign. Like
Is it?
More or less, yeah, which doesn't flow.
Not howdy neighbor? No, there was no howdy neighbor.
Doesn't flow, right? but that's where it came from. You may have also noticed we didn't travel back in time.
No, we didn't.
No, I couldn't figure out how we would do that.
Every time we do, I fear we'll never get back. Well, so I'm glad we didn't this time.
We stayed put this time. We just, you know, gave you the rundown of how these towns came to be. I didn't know what else to do with it. But it's such a funny, freaky, weird sign.
Yeah.
That I felt like it deserved.
I think it's stuck in your head that we have to travel back in time every episode. I don't think we do.
No, this one we didn't.
That's a good one. Just the story alone.
Yeah, it's enough.
That's it.
Yeah. So when we do travel back, I like to see what happened that made it happen. But it's just not always necessary.
Yeah.
Like in this case. I mean,
because it's kind of a mystery as to how it went up and who put it up, right?
We'll go to 1930 and we'll hear banging and ha, that's funny. I'll put this sign up. See ya.
Well, that's another thing.
And we're back.
There was no room for sound effects, really.
No.
So
it was just there.
I was looking for the bang, bang, bang and the saw, like the same.
No. It's just the signs there. Once in a while, it gets stolen or repainted or whatever. Yeah.
Well, thanks for making my job easier this week.
Now it's just a piece of Maine Americana, which is really cool. But
I wonder if it's ever been stolen.
Yeah, we said that. Yeah, it's been stolen multiple times. Oh, okay. In fact, there was a newspaper article that talked about some sticky fingered bandits had run off with it, and then the Maine Highway Department replaced it.
Well, I think we should have dug into that and maybe went back to their youth and see what went wrong when they decided to steal something later in life.
Did you ever steal a street sign?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Is that a felony?
It absolutely is. We probably shouldn't admit it, but...
No, but I
what'd you steal?
A neighborhood watch sign.
Oh, my God.
Irony. I thought the irony was so good. And I was in college, right? And I brought it and I hung the sign on my college dorm wall and I put a sign next to it saying, I stole this. Which I thought would be even funnier.
Yeah.
Right?
Until the cops showed up.
The irony, and they're just like, thanks. Now that
thanks for making our job easier, Jeff.
Now that I'm an adult taxpayer, I'm like, oh.
Those darn kids.
Stupid
kids. Oh, I was
kids.
One of them.
That was me. Because, right? You're like, the town has to pay for that.
And I got a hold of a Ray sign, Ray Street.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah,
so
yeah.
Had to do that.
Right. Well, fair. I mean, they had that coming.
Exactly.
Don't call it Ray Street if you don't want Ray to steal it.
It's funny. Recently, in the last couple of years, we bought a stop sign so I could write don't above it and believe in below it.
You bought it?
But we bought it. I could have went out and stole one.
Yeah.
But at 50 years old, I'm like, let's go purchase a stop sign.
And being old and lazy, you'd probably get the one at the end of your street. And then your neighbors start getting in accidents and you're like,
I'd get in the accident.
I stole that. Yeah, wham.
Why did you stop? Oh, yeah.
Oh, because this is actually so my fault. I stole the sign and then forgot I stole it and blew through it.
Even if they were in the wrong, I'd say, no.
Yeah.
It's my fault. I don't want to explain why.
I'm an
trust
idiot.
Me.
How old are you? Never mind. Doesn't matter. No, I get it. So, yeah, that's anything weird is going to get stolen. Folks, if you've ever been to Ireland, the Blarney Stone.
Yeah. Oh, don't kiss it.
Don't kiss it. That's the thing. You're supposed to kiss the Blarney Stone. The locals are at the pub late at night, and they got to go.
I've heard that, yeah.
And they go where all the tourists are going to be kissing.
Yep, purposely.
So, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Quite frankly, if I lived there and I was, completely drunk at the bar as it closed and they're kicking us out and they're like, hey, you guys want to go to the Blarney Stone? We're like,
especially after spending time at a pub where there was a bunch of tourists with their fanny packs and their cameras speaking, with American accents. I'd be like, forget these people. I'm peeing on the Blarney Stone.
Yeah.
I know. And then I'd tell them, before you leave, don't forget to go kiss the Blarney Stone.
Got it. It's good luck.
Then I'd go out there and do it.
Tastes like Guinness. If there's a roadside oddity, someone's going to defile it in some way. That's just how it is.
Please hit the subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. And if you'd post a review for us, we'd be most grateful. Podcasts like New England Legends count on you to spread the word. The more people listening, the more people who write in with strange legends to become future episodes. It takes a community to do this. We're glad to be a part of it with you. You can also join our New England Legends Facebook group for more ongoing weirdness.
We'd like to thank Marv Anderson for lending his voice acting talents this week. Thank you to our sponsors and to our Patreon patrons. And our theme music is by John Judd.
Until next time, remember,
the bizarre is closer than you think.